This month will mark the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. It's what drew the United States into World War II. During that war, President Roosevelt called on America to be the arsenal of democracy. In Seattle, people did their part by building B-17 bombers. Thousands of these so-called flying fortresses blackened the skies over Europe, and thousands of young men risked their lives in these planes. The B-17 changed history, but it also changed Seattle. EarthFix reporter Ashley Ahern has the story. It's the first in our series on the military's environmental legacy in the Pacific Northwest.
Almost 7,000 B-17s were made at the Boeing Plant 2 facility on the banks of the Duwamish River, more than were made anywhere else in the country.
In huge Boeing plants, out of tough metal, they forge America's fighting bomber.
The Duwamish River, which runs through the heart of Seattle, became a hive of industry. 30,000 people worked at Boeing's Plant 2 facility, churning out up to 15 B-17s per day.
The system turned out more production per square foot than any other aircraft factory.
During World War II, you would have just seen lines of aircraft in various stages of assembly.
John Little is a historian at the Museum of Flight in Seattle.
You would have heard the constant chatter of rivet guns, of drills. It would have been a very noisy place.
Now, the last survivors of World War II are slipping away, and there are only a few B-17s left. One of them is at the Museum of Flight. It was refurbished in the spring of 1998. John Little told me about one of the first days the public was allowed on board. A volunteer by the name of Pete Graven was sitting in the cockpit, you know, keeping an eye on things to make sure nobody broke anything, when an older man came in and sat down in the pilot seat. And he closed his eyes and he reached for the controls. John said Pete was going to stop him, but he realized the guy wasn't actually touching the controls. His hands were hovering right over them.
And then he noticed that the guy was flipping the switches, the imaginary switches, in the correct order for a pre-flight. So Pete asked, you've obviously done this before. And the guy just nodded his head, didn't say anything, didn't open his eyes. Pete then asked, how many missions? The guy said, 35. His eyes still closed. Pete then asked, any bad ones? And the guy, at this point, a tear starts to come down out of the corner of his eye. And it's still kind of hard to talk about, but he looks at Pete and says, yeah, 35, sole survivor. And it turned out that this guy had been the pilot on a B-17 who had lost his entire crew on the 35th mission. He was the only guy who survived. And he had been living with that guilt. And he had been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. He was 73 years old at the time. And the one thing he wanted to do was to sit in the left seat of a B-17 one last time. Sorry, but it's still hard to talk about this because he said that's where he made the greatest contribution to the human race. You know, back in 1944, 45. So, you know, it reminds you that these aircraft are more than just pieces of metal. They are, to a very large extent, monuments to people who have no other monuments.
Making thousands of planes left a mark on the city of Seattle, and on the Duwamish River in particular. In a way, the river was sacrificed for the war effort. Smokestacks sprouted up all along this urban waterway, and it's a Superfund site now. It's undergoing a major cleanup. Boeing's plane construction contributed to the pollution in this river. The giant Plant 2 facility used to stand on the eastern bank near the South Park Bridge. Sean Blocker is the guy overseeing the cleanup for the Environmental Protection Agency.
This stretch is the most contaminated stretch of the Duwamish. Boeing Plant 2 historically had a lot of contamination that originated from the manufacturing processes up there.
When workers finished machining parts for the Boeing planes, they'd be covered in gunk and grease, so they'd dip the pieces of metal in swimming pool-sized concrete tanks of solvents to clean them off. Over the years, the tanks leaked metals and PCBs, the kind of contaminants that stick around for a really long time and get into the food chain so fish aren't safe for people to eat.
So this is almost like a timeline going back in history, showing more and more and more and more PCBs coming out of Plant 2.
Today, things along this stretch of river look a lot better. The shoreline behind Blocker is dotted with newly planted shrubs and grasses. Boeing has removed more than 200,000 cubic yards of polluted muck from the site, though there's still work to be done. the Boeing company has been criticized by environmentalists and tribes for attempting to weaken state water quality standards. But Blocker says on this particular cleanup, the company has done a good job. Sean Blocker has a personal connection to the Boeing cleanup.
My grandfather was a tail gunner on B-17s. He flew in the 15th Air Force and was pretty much with campaigns through North Africa and into Italy for the 15th Air Force.
Does that change the way you see the pollution that came from this place?
Not even a little bit. I think it connected me a little bit for the fact that it felt good to clean this facility up because it was crucial to World War II. It was crucial to my grandfather because that's what he did. So I get the other end of it. I get to clean up what got started during his era.
I'm Ashley Ahern in Seattle.